Where to begin these moments that I do have with you? Oh, where to begin? Go with me to Revelation chapter 21, and I believe we should start right there. Very end of the Bible, second to the last chapter. Let me point something out to you that perhaps you had not up until now noticed. I intend this morning to address fear. Fear is the weapon that is being used against us in this truth versus deception war. Fear is being fueled. Fear is being stoked. And fear is being translated into what is nothing other than mass hysteria. Truly is. Matter of fact, I'd like to recommend for you, you can find it on YouTube, something called A Killing of the Mind. And so about mass psychosis, how an entire population becomes mentally ill. It's written from a secular psychological perspective, quoting Carl Jung and all of those geniuses who were wrong about a lot of stuff, but even a broken clock is right a couple times a day. And they have made observation. Studying the history of humanity, they have made observation, working with the historians, the psychologists have actually observed that there's such a thing as mass psychosis, and it happens. It has happened a number of times in history. The Salem witch trials are a great example of mass psychosis. By the way, it didn't just happen here. It also happened in Europe. Insanity. They've observed insanity in totalitarian governments and totalitarian regimes coming to power. Mass psychosis makes it possible. I encourage you to look that one up, watch that documentary. But here in Revelation chapter 21, let me point something out to you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Beautiful picture, isn't it? "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Please take note that verse 8 begins with a conjunction. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This morning I want to draw your attention to that list of those who are in the lake of fire, the list of those who are the damned. In contrast to this beautiful picture, to all those who overcome, every tear is wiped away, every horrible memory taken, no more death, sin, suffering, or sorrow. But the fearful, the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. The first on the list is the fearful. The fearful and the unbelieving. English Standard Version translates it even more bluntly, cowards. Cowards will have their place. The unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars in the lake of fire. Cowards. All of humanity, turns out, is really ultimately divided into two groups. The fearful and the faithful. Now people act like fear is just something you just can't help. Well, we may not always be able to immediately help the fact that we're afraid. But we can help what we do. Do we obey our fear? Do we yield to it? Or do we overcome it? Well, I'm going to read you a portion of a blog written by a lawyer. You ought to get acquainted with this guy, Jeff Childers. He actually has put out a blog that is Coffee and COVID. You'd like Jeff Childers. I enjoy him. Let me just read to you the first portion of what he has written under the title of What the Church Needs to Know About COVID-19. He writes, this might be one of the most important and timely things you've ever read. You take the time to read it, and then you disagree, I'll reimburse you for your time. I'm not joking. I'm an attorney. Don't hate me for it. I'll suddenly be your best friend on the day that you need me. Don't worry. I only mention it because I'm a litigating attorney, and everything I cite in this article will be something I can prove in court. No conspiracy theories. Most of the data comes from the CDC, NIH, and the FDA and other state agencies or major American newspapers. I don't truck in conspiracy theories because, by definition, they are unprovable. He writes, God gave me a message to give to you. And his message is, when the church wakes up, this will all be over. But if the church doesn't wake up, this will be all over. He said, the fact that I don't have to tell you what this is speaks volumes. Let's get started. What you don't know about COVID-19. Number one, we are near the lowest point of mortality since the pandemic began. Now, you wouldn't know that from headlines and pictures like this one, the very first one. This is, actually, let me read that one. I didn't plan for that one to be first. Quarantine, that's the redefinition of words. Quarantine is when you restrict the movement of sick people. Tyranny is when you restrict the movement of healthy people. Words get redefined by deceivers. Quarantine, all through our history, has always been understood as restricting the movement of the infected, protecting the healthy from the infected and from the infection. You will all, of course, remember, if you were here, when Governor Paul LePage was the governor, he placed one nurse returning from Africa where she'd worked in a hospital dealing with Ebola. And out of his concern for the state of Maine, he placed her in quarantine. You will also then remember the then Attorney General, Janet Mills, sued him for putting the potentially sick in quarantine for a couple of weeks. The same Janet Mills that in 2020 put the entire state in lockdown and called it quarantine. How do you lock down free people? But it was done. But let me show you the next slide. Look at this. Cover of Newsweek. The doomsday variant. The doomsday variant. You actually have to see the small print, which you can't see. And it asks the question, COVID keeps mutating into scary new threats. How worried should we be? It assumes that we should be worried. It's not a question of whether we should be worried or not. It's a question of how worried should we be. Now, just for the record, there is no doomsday variant. They mention that in the article. You'd think they'd mention it in the cover. So it's just pure speculation. Oh, what if? What if? But it's that very kind of media influence that is stoking the fears. People have been made hysterical and irrational. Some of them, your friends, your brothers, your family members. People have gone crazy. Despite all of that hype, we are now near the lowest point of mortality since the pandemic began. Throw up that graph. Look at that graph, passing through time. And you are looking at the lowest point of mortality since this whole thing started. But you wouldn't know that it's the lowest point of mortality. You didn't know that, Jeff Childers writes. You didn't know that, did you? With the Delta variant raging and all that. You probably thought the mortality was like through the roof. It's not. He does write an update. September 1st, mortality is ticking up again for reasons that will become clear below, and probably because the southern summer COVID wave is transitioning to the northern states' fall wave. But the point remains the same, which is one, you've been told for 2 months that things are dire, and they weren't. Two, and now, we are still seeing only a fraction of the mortality from the winter of 2021 and the spring of 2020 levels. But you wouldn't know that from all the hype and all the endless mentions. How about this? Pediatric mortality. Let's talk about that one, because all of the tyranny over the children, keeping them out of schools, keeping them all masked up and gagged. Pediatric mortality from COVID in Florida, where Childers writes from, is below flu levels. For all of 2020, there were 22 pediatric deaths from the flu, from influenza in Florida. For all of 2020 and 2021 combined, there have only been 15 pediatric deaths from COVID. Throw up the graph, it really does illustrate it. The number one cause of death in children in Florida. Strangulation or suffocation. Number two is drowning. And you can see over there on the bottom left, the flu. But that green mark over there is even smaller than the blue mark that represents the flu, and that is the 15 pediatric deaths from COVID. Those other risks like drowning, suffocating are much more significant for kids than COVID-19. In fact, COVID-19 has been the least likely cause of death for kids in the entire United States. Throw up the next graph. Here's one for you. You probably can't read, but you can see the colors anyway. The top section, children from 1 to 4 years old. The number one way our kids die is from drowning. Vehicle accidents take second place. All the way down through this list to the very bottom list, which is COVID. 0.2. Children from 5 to 14 years old, that's the lower graph. They're a little less prone to suffocation. And sadly, cancer is the number one thing that kills them. It's our modern world that's doing it. Second, still, vehicle accidents. And what's even more tragic, though, is the third category is suicide. Suicide. Little kids, 5 to 14 years old, they're killing themselves. Why? Because the government is depressing them, scaring them, terrifying them. It's an evil, it's a wicked thing that's happening. Meanwhile, let me skip on down through this article. I mentioned to you last Sunday with regard to Israel. I mentioned Israel being the most vaccinated and the most militant about forced vaccinations of any little nation on earth. They took a bad hit with that virus and they took strong measures. But nobody is more thorough in collecting the data. And guess what? They've discovered vaccination is not the answer. They have discovered that natural immunity, I mentioned last week, I have to correct it right now. I mentioned last Sunday that according to the Israeli study, natural immunity, I said last week, is 13 times better. It lasts 13 times longer than so-called vaccinated immunity. I was wrong. Let me correct that now. It's actually 27 times better. Lasts 27 times longer. In fact, they're discovering that the vaccinated people make up the majority of the people that are in their hospitals suffering greatly from the so-called variants. As a matter of fact, let me throw up another graph for you. The next graph, this is interesting, and though you can't read a little tiny print, you can see two lines that intersect and pass each other. Let me tell you what those two lines are. The blue line on the top that starts a little bit high and then goes low, that is the COVID infections in the Palestinian-controlled area of Israel, unvaccinated. You see that green line? That green line represents the infection rate of the vaccinated Israeli population climbing steadily. You see them passing each other. Well, that's your vaccination. Consider some of these headlines. Next slide. That is the result of all that they're discovering. Come on, there you go. Ultra-vaxxed Israel's crisis is a dire warning to America from the Daily Beast. So all of that emphasis upon vaccination being the answer has actually amplified the problem. And now you've heard Lord Fauci and the rest talk about boosters, got to get a booster. First it was maybe 8 months, now it's down to 5. It'll continue to go down. Frequent boosters. And all it really does is prolong this ridiculous plague. Next one, next, just roll them. Natural immunity after COVID-19 found durable and robust. Contrary to Lord Fauci telling us that this induced vaccinated immunity was superior. It's not. I think there's one more. Preliminary data from Israel suggests durable immunity to the Delta variant in recovered COVID-19 patients. Yeah, you get it? By God's design, you have built-in protection. And it lasts. And it's also good for the so-called variants. I think that's it on the slides, right, guys? I got done with those. But let me just, again, make the point to you that the facts don't justify the mass fear. The fear is engineered. Every bit as much as this virus itself was engineered. The fear, which is actually the greatest killer, Jeff Childers goes on to lay out all of these articles from the psychological experts who are observing a greater plague that is resulting in higher numbers of dead people from depression and suicide and fear. Fear is killing more people than this virus. Well, what is the answer to all of that? The answer is faith. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians, the 4th chapter, we have an admonition that we do well to right now review. Fear is a tool translated quickly into power. Fear is a tool that is translated into political power, and people have and people are surrendering their freedom in the name of safety. Some even are telling you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, said bluntly and crassly, "Screw your freedom." Schwarzenegger, Austrian immigrant. Seeing your freedom is not that important. It's not important. What really matters is everyone's safety. Lord Fauci says, I know people really like their freedoms, but oh well. You just have to give them up. Fear is the very tool whereby freedom is taken, surrendered. Right now, our government has become the great stoker of fear, together with all of the big tech and big media allies. They're all working together to create a perception that is not real. It's not factual at all. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You got two that are fighting there. I want them to get over it. Be of the same mind. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He wrote to them, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. That's what he said. There's a guy who's in and out of prison, suffering persecution, who ultimately is going to get his head cut off. And he's okay with it. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. He goes, again I say rejoice. It is difficult to fret and rejoice at the same time. So what are you supposed to be doing always? Rejoice. Look at this King James Version. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Okay, that's not a great translation. You know what moderation is best translated? The word is self-control. Let your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. What is the alternative to self-control? Well, the alternative is that we're controlled by something else or someone else. It is not the will of God that his people would be controlled, but that we would be self-controlled. We're not the people who are being manipulated, not the people who are being driven, but instead, we have our composure and we keep our composure. He said, be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. You might translate that, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And while you're praying, be giving thanks. Thanksgiving. It is not merely to be a holiday. It's supposed to be a daily habit. That Thanksgiving is not just something you do blessing the food before you eat it. But it should flavor all of our prayers. The Thanksgiving ought to be in the midst, and rejoicing ought to be in the midst of our dealing with those things that we're tempted to worry about. You want to know self-control? Don't be full of anxiety and fear about anything. Right now, there are people. After first overcoming the fear, you're tempted to be afraid of the virus. Then you got to deal with another war, being tempted to be afraid of job loss and economic worries. And then thirdly, you had to deal with the temptation to be an outcast and outsider, the peer pressure. You had to deal with that temptation, the fear of being canceled. And I say, woe unto us if we're not canceled. Embrace your outsider status. Welcome it. When the whole world is drinking out of the same poison well and going crazy, embrace your outsider status. Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You got to have a thankful heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your self-control be known to everybody. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And while you're praying, be thankful. And look at this. And the peace of God. The peace of God, not just any old peace. Now, there are some of us here who in our lifetime, seeking peace, settled for numbness. Peace of God is real different from a chemically induced state of numbness. The peace of God will do what? The peace of God will, the one that passes all understanding, shall keep, it'll guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Our heart and our mind needs to be guarded. They need to be kept. There are people that want to take over your mind, and they'll work through your heart to get to your mind. They want to generate fear and panic in you, and the next thing you know, they're controlling you, controlling your thoughts. I'm going to read it to you again. Be full of anxiety, careful, full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard, it will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's literally meditate on these things. Let your focus be on those things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, the world is divided like it's never been divided before. Divided between the fearful and the faithful. Where does faith come from? How do you get it? Well, I think God gives to every man a measure of faith. He said that in Romans chapter 12. But then what do you do with the measure of faith you got? You can grow it. How are you going to grow it? You're going to grow it by using it. You're going to grow it by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Hearing by the word of God. Hear God's word. Meditate on God's word. Focus on these things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Remain thankful in your heart. Rejoice always. Don't worry about anything. All of that, do that, and the peace of God. Well, you guys know that there are fears that are imagined, and there are fears that are real. Our job as parents is to help our children sort those things out, right? I've said before, and I'll say again, it's our job to help them to understand there's nothing under the bed that's going to get them. If we have to go under the bed with them in the dark, show them, go in the closet, hang out in the closet, do what you have to do. There are fears that we want them to actually respect. The fear of a car running over you, the fear of water drowning you. There are these things that we want to help them to manage. But helping them sort that all out is part of what we do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I have always told my children, and I continue to tell my friends, you must not, you absolutely must not do what your fear tells you to do. Because if you obey your fear will own you. Every time you obey it, you give it more and more control, more mastery. You want to overcome your fear? We all know that there are things that we're afraid of that we can, in fact, overcome. And you'll overcome them by disobeying your fear. You're scared of heights? Go high. Scared of dogs? Get with the dog. Hang out with the dog. Don't obey your fear. If you obey your fear of the dog just grows. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can I point out to you the two contrasting mindsets? One is fearful. The other one is powerful, confident, and loving. God has given to us the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. I submit to you that it is fear and such things as bitterness and guilt that will take your sound mind from you. The thing that will make your mind unsound are those very things. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I'm telling you, the one group of people that should be fearless are those who already know they've got eternal life. We're going to live already. We're going to live. Right now, we have it. We're going to live forever. Already have it. We shouldn't be like everybody else, running around scared and panicking. We actually have a connection to God. Let's talk about perceived fears for a moment. There was a friend of mine, I won't mention her name. She might show up in the third service. Dear lady, she's elderly, she lives alone. You might say she's eccentric. I think she'd say she's eccentric. She decorates wildly. She just thinks big, flamboyant. Living alone, she rented a big house. Big giant house with two large levels and a third with a big giant attic. She called me and asked me to come pray over her house. I said, why? What do you want me to pray over your house for? She goes, because there's stuff in here. There are things, it's haunted. I'm being tormented. And there's all these things happening here. And I told her, houses don't get haunted. I don't care what anybody told you. They don't. People get bugged by demonic things, but houses don't. They're objects. I'll come over. And I went over. I said, sure, I'll. But tell me what's going on. She goes, the worst thing is the attic stairway. I can hear footsteps coming down the attic stairway. It's tormenting, and I can hear them. They come fast, and then they slow down, and they get to the door. I'm just waiting for something to happen, and it never happens. I said, that's weird. You have a dog. What's your dog doing? She goes, that's it. Nothing. It's as if he doesn't hear it. And I told her, dear lady, greater is he who is in you. You are a believer. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You must overcome these illegitimate fears. So what are you doing when all this is happening? I'm under my covers trembling. You've got to throw those covers off. Lady, you have got to throw them off. Their covers aren't doing anything for you except keeping you from confronting your fears. You got to throw them off, and you got to go to the scary sound. You got to muster up your faith. You got to muster up your courage and just go confront it. I can't. Let's pray for your house. Let's go up to your attic. And I go up the attic stairs. I'm not kidding you. I get up to the top of those stairs and I went, yeah, it is creepy. She got all these mannequins and all like feather boas and crazy outfits and mannequin parts. You know, when you first walk up, they don't care who you are. You go, yeah. I went, oh, okay, all right, but it's keep it together. It's not haunted. Let's pray. We prayed, but my first thought going up there was heebie-jeebie. A couple of weeks went by, she called me laughing hysterically. What is so funny? She finally was able to get it out. She said, it happened. What happened? The steps. I finally got the courage to throw the covers off and step out of my room and turn in the hallway toward the attic door. And what did I see? What did you see? My dog. Doing what? Laying against the attic door, probably enjoying that airflow. Laying against the attic door, scratching an itch. And every time he moves, the door is not that tight. And you can imagine that dog is like scratching and then looks up at her. And but she's got this thing is creeping down the attic stairs and stopping at the door just to mess with your mind. She was laughing, and I was glad to hear her laugh. But this is kind of how it works. I mean, so much perception, so much of it. All of this that was going on was going on in her mind. Natural phenomena coming together, and what's being messed with was her perspective, her perception. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. I urge you, dear believer, to not be manipulated. Do not let your fears be stoked by the world around you. Let your meditation not just be an endless news feed. Sort through the news and find the truth. It's there. You can. There are credible sources, and there are those that have proven themselves to be liars. Now listen to the liars. Have the kind of sound mind that actually allows you to influence others. Have that kind of boldness and clarity, self-control. You will not be controlled by somebody else messing with your brain. Let me read you, in conclusion, what God said to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. You want to go all the way back there with me? It'd do you good to see what God said to Joshua. Joshua had his fears, but Joshua was commanded not to obey them. It's a moral issue. Sounds like it is with God. When God speaks to Joshua, look at what he says. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with us wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Man, that's the key. That's the key. Don't you stop quoting this book. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate in it day and night. What do you meditate on? What keeps rehashing? What do you keep going over and over? Your worries? Your fears? You will amplify your problems if you do. Choose to go back to what God said. Let him speak to you. Meditate on his word day and night. God says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It's God going, I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you go. I'm telling you that what he said to Joshua, he had said to you and me here today. Do not allow your fears to get the upper hand. You disobey them. And you counter them with what God has said in his word. God would say through the prophet Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yeah, I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do not be afraid. Be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be worried. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And while you're doing that, be thankful. Do that with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, it's nothing like the peace of pot, the peace of alcohol, the peace of some virtual reality escape. No, the peace of God actually passes understanding, transcends understanding. It will guard your heart. It'll keep your heart, your mind, both of them kept guarded in Christ Jesus. Do you hear me this morning? Do not yield to your fears. You worried about money? What's the worst thing that could happen? The whole economy could crash, and we could find ourselves having to help each other out. We'll get through it. The Lord promised He would provide us our daily bread. Maybe the day comes where it takes more than one family to actually have a house. You got to share. Maybe we end up like the Waltons with three generations. Actually, just saying that just scared someone half to death. You don't know our generations. Thrown into one house. Now I'm leaving more trouble than I came. What's the worst thing that happened? The Lord will provide. He'll get us through. We're on our way somewhere, guys. We're on our way to heaven. We're not going to fret our way there. So the two kinds of people, fearful, faithful. The Lord Jesus made it plain that we should trust Him and fear only God. He said this in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read this to you and then be done. I wasn't going to, but now I am. Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, verse 26, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." It's pretty plain, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, "Fear only the one who has the power to send body and soul to hell." And yet, He said, don't fear him at the same time. Because he's got a running tally of how many hairs are on your head. You don't even have that information. The person that knows you on earth better than anyone does not have that information. How many hairs you got right now? You don't even have a round estimate. If you have none, you know. If you have any, you don't know how many. But there's one who knows intimately such details as that. And He loves you. He's your Father. He is your Father. I say again, the Son of God calls Him your Father in heaven. Let's stand together and we'll close with a prayer. Father, I pray that You'd help us to be those people who are reasonable and rational when everybody else is losing their mind. God, help us to not be like them. Help us to be different. Help us to be those people who are truly self-controlled. Help us to be those who rejoice always, who pray, and while they're praying, we give thanks continually. Those who allow the peace of God to guard our heart and our minds. Use us out there, Lord. The world is full of fear. We're the people. We are the people that are immortal. We're going to live forever. We must not demonstrate fear. Help us, Lord, to be immune to the real plague. And help us to carry with us the true vaccine to that real plague of fear And that is faith. I pray, Lord, that you'd use us out there. It's a sick world, and they need you desperately. May we be the ones to carry you out there to them. Bless our fellowship as we go. We're really grateful to have each other, Lord. Bless our fellowship with each other as we go in the name of our King. Amen. Grace and peace to you all.